Quick comments, and then let's continue on to Gezel Ben Noach, Apachas and Shavaputa. And then Thursday, hopefully, or Thursday and Sunday, we'll try to finish off with Akum, then maybe one or two other permutations of Gzela and Geneva, and then we'll start straight with the Mishnah, Salah Beis and Beis. But before that, let me just make a few quick comments. Number one, so basically we went through the Gemara in Bav Metzia, Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Amud Beis. It's a very, very important Gemara, as we saw, for many reasons, about the relationship between Gzela and Geneva and the scope of both, relationship to Onah, Ribis, Gzela, Geneva, Amanas, Lemekat, and so on. So is there anybody, Lahalacha, who really holds that the Makar of Gzela, is that really Gzela, but Onah of Ribis? That's an important issue. And is there anybody who really holds that the Makar for Geneva is not really Lo Signovu, but either Onah of Ribis or Lo Sigzal? Is there anybody like that? Sounds like the Gemara is that way, but as we pointed out, there are other Ravas, and certainly it doesn't seem like the Rambam and some of the other Rishonim hold that way. So who does hold that way? So number one, it's very possible that Tosis holds that way. Tosis in Bav Metzia, which I told you to look at on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, seems to go in that direction, at least initially. Tosis says that Bim Tomar Belukmi Begezel Gufe Velavar Lebishne. I'm sorry, it's the beginning of Tosis. We'll get at that in a second. Then Tosis says, that's the beginning of Tosis. Then Tosis continues. Tosis says, Bim Tomar Lekamon Bamakabel Amina Begezel Knani Mutter, Darish Reyacha Velo Knani, Utrichi, because of Gezel, Velo Tarach. And so on. Let's ask this question. The Skar Sochid, the Torah, Knani Nami Asr, Ashta, Mukmin, Haka, Haidalos Ashok, Riachavalos Sigzal, Kula, Krab, Oshek, Skar Sochir. Then Tosis gives an answer. Then Tosis asks the second question. In Tomar, Hechasal Kadai, the Chlemem, the Gezel, Knani Asr, the Itzrich, Krolim, Ute, Riachavalo Akum, why would you even have the Havamina need the Limud? Hello, be Yisrael, Gufa, Loyadana, Gezel, Elim, Ribis, Vona. Beribis Shari Biknani, right? The Siv Nachri Sashich, Vononami, Siv Amitecha, Darshinu Le'el, Im Sheitcha, Betorah B'mitzvos. So if the Makar of Gezel is from Onah Beribis, and Onah Beribis don't apply to Akum, so on what basis would you ever even require Limud to exclude Gezel Akum? That's Tosis's question. And Tosis answers, Yeshom b'dahava asrina and gezel knani, maybe achalta as kol ha'amin. In some other reason. Basically, the thrust of this Tosis is that the real makar, zela, is like kipshuto shalasugya, is onah beribis. It's really not the pasuk of us. So both questions of Tosis imply this strongly. And the truth is that the previous Tosis actually seems to move in this direction as well. So it's important to know that Tosis does take the Gemara Kipshuto, as of course did the Lecha Mishnah, which is why he asked all those questions against the Rambam, Lo Sigzal and Lo Signovu. On the other side of things, just to continue with it, Reb Sajigon, in his Minyan HaMitzvos, does not count Lo Signovu separately. And the question is, why? So Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlo, in his Peirush, speculates about that. All he has really to go on is the omission, you know. But it's interesting that his speculation yields two opposite, I think, in a way, two opposite suggestions. One is that Lo Signovu is included in Gnevas Nefesh, which I think is very important, and we still have to sum that up a little bit more. But we've already, you know, made a strong allusion to the issue. Namely, to what extent, whether it's the Asar Sadibros being misleading. Or the quote of the Gemara Bava Metzia Samach Aleph, if it isn't the wrong girsa, that the Gra changed. The Rambam sometimes quotes Lo Signo at the beginning of Hilchos Geneva and others. To what extent is all of this intentional, and is there really a link between Geneva's Nefesh and Geneva's Mamon? We already pointed out the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos says Geneva's Mamon, and I was suggesting in Sefer Mitzvos, and you see it again in Hilchos Malachim, Paratez Alachatez, that the Rambam always feels the need to make this Ha'ara, Gnevas Mamon or Gnevas Nefesh. It could be because of the contrast, but it also could be because, you know, there is a common denominator, there's a common element it's not a coincidence that both of these are called Gneva. And if that part, that suggestion is correct, namely that in Minyan HaMitzvos, Gneva is included under the rubric of Gnevas Nefesh, and not, therefore we don't need a separate meaning of Gnevas Mamon, that's sensational. And definitely would also drive a wedge between Gneva and Gzela, one would think. The other suggestion, which is why I called it opposite, is that Gneva is included in Gzela. Namely, Gzela is an Iser Klali, and Gneva is Bechlau, just that, you know, it's different than some of its Pratim, Farhesia, and if it's an added Knas. The added Knas and the differences are not different Mechayev, according to that perspective. Again, why is there a Knas? Okay, so take the Gemara, keep Shuta on Ayin Tes, but narrow it as much as possible. Not that, you know, the fact that you are, you know, slapping the Rabbonu Shel Olam in the face, you know, because you're giving more respect to man than to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not a different way to look at the whole act of Gneva. In addition to which, maybe the stealing into the property, the fact that it could lead to a capital confrontation, and so on. No. Or the fact that it's connected to Gneva. No, not at all. The Knas, the extra Knas, is simply a consequence of that. But the basic reality of Gneva is like Gzela, just that it is Bitsina. And again, if you read the Gemara like the Shiltos, and a bit of Bechai read at least the, that's what the Gemara is saying. What do you need Lo Signo before? It's Bechal Lo Signzal. Again, the riff in the Tshuva that we saw yesterday, Lamed Gimel, Kuf Lamed Gimel. Also, again, whichever direction you want to say it in, is very comfortable integrating Gneva and Gezeva. So, whether that ends up meaning that both of them are primarily about Hefsid Mamon, or that they're both primarily about Maisa Gzela, Maisa Otsam, which is a Bailim, that we could further speculate about. But it's just very interesting that according to Bruchovich Perlo, these are the two suggestions. Either Gnevas Mamon is included in Gnevas Nefesh, or Gnevas Mamon is under the rubric of Gezel and Dafka not of Gnevas Nefesh. And I think that's very important for in the Maskana of our Gemara. Okay, then finally, two other points just to catch up on. One is, okay, so we spent some time in Amanas Lameikat, and one of the things, two points to consider. What we were trying to figure out was what the nature of this halacha is. What is the case, factually? Is he going to return it? Is he not going to return it? Is it all about his motivation or the substance of what he's doing? Is there a chalos in that different substance? Do we really recognize halachically that it's different? These are the questions that we were asking. And we were suggesting that the more we conclude that it really is different, la halacha, and that we're not just megale, an expansion of, let's say either precluding some havamina, some difficult havamina, or being marba some extraordinary chiddush, whatever the case may be. But if it's not just an adjustment that goes across the board, then if really there's something different about Amanas Lameikat, then it's possible that it would be limited to Gneva, and it would really characterize what is unique about Gneva. Or maybe by extension, Gneva and Gzela, if it applied to both. But especially if it was limited to Gneva. So we suggested several strategies to try to isolate Amanas Lameikat LaHalacha to figure out what it is, whether maybe you'll get Malkus in this case, Ayim Chalik between Gneva and Gzela, between Akum or Ben Noach and Yisrael, etc. So one of them was the Ksos. The Ksos' idea that maybe you're not Chayav Ba'Unsin in Amanas Lameikat. And I suggested that was very important. I think Moshe suggested correctly that the Ksos could be mistopic about this question, Gufa, or he might be taking a stand that's definitely unique and singular. The question is, how far do we push the Nafkin? So Noah, after the Shir, asked me, why don't you just say that according to the Ksos, the really Amanas Lameikat is routine Gneva and Gzela, and he doesn't make a difference between Gneva and Gzela. But his safek has to do with something else, and that is, if you're not going to keep the chayfets, so then the kinyanim are not going to kick in. Without kinyanim, you're not going to be chayv b'achray. So it isn't so much that it's a different, that the safek is, or that the conclusion is, that Amanas Lameikat is different, as much as it is that Lamaisa is no different than other cases, like we'll discuss, the famous Yerushalmi. I'll give you a small list to look at. we've already discussed them a little bit, but we should see them inside. Amanas la'abed, and I mentioned the right bit about shol shalom bidas. There are other cases too where possibly we distinguish between kinyanei and chiyubei zela, etc. So I just want to address that very quickly because I think it's an important question. If you look at the language of the Ksos in Shin Mem Ches, I think it's clear that he is not interpreting that way, but that he is following up on the Havamin of the Gemara that maybe Amanas Lameka is Pater Lagamri. And what he's really saying is, and even if the Chiddush, if the Gili Milsa is that violates Lo Signovu, nonetheless, does it violate it fully? Is the fellow really a Ganav, is an act of Gneva, or is it just an Isur B'Yama? The language of the Ksos makes it perfectly clear that he understands this as an issue in the quality of the Gneva more generally, not just as a din in Kinyane Gneva. That's number one. Number two is the fact that I think he makes it perfectly clear. Does anybody have the language of the Ksos available? Moment, Shin Mem Ches? I think he also makes it perfectly clear that his Safek extends not only to Amanas Lamekat, Amanas Lahachzer Sabe'en, but also Amanas Lashalim Sabe'en. Which brings us to another point, and that is who made the Ara to me the other day? Abigail. That, go ahead, that. Sometimes.
There's different results whether it's Amanas Lashalim Kaver or Amanas Lashalim Dalib ahead.
Yeah, and what's the difference?
The difference is in Kaver, you're still holding the Kaver, so it's Dalib ahead. You tie off the Mapa, you're back and that, you don't have the Kaver anymore.
Right. So that, and I think it's a good point, and it brings to the question again whether Amanas Lemekat is Amanas Laha, even according to that day in the Rishonim, that you know he's not going to keep. It's not just it's not only about motivation. Why is he doing this? It's also about the quality of what he's doing. But even then, the question is the quality of what he's doing. Lahaksir Sabe'en, Dafka, or Lashalem Avura Be'en, or Lashalem Kefel or Dalad Behe Avura Be'en. So I think that's an important point, and the Abigail's point about the Girsa is something that highlights it, because Dalad Behei, obviously, is always is a case where you don't have the Be'en anymore. Right? If you destroyed it, Tavak, even Machar, we'll get to that hopefully soon enough, the issues of Yir Shishinu Rishus, and so on. So there is no HaKazaras HaBe'en. What's perfectly clear in the Ksos, nobody has it here? Nobody has it on the disc?
Yeah.
Donnie, have it? They have Ksos. He makes it perfectly clear that in his opinion, this Safek extends, I think it's in general an important issue, right? Because what is the case at Almanac? Yeah, go ahead. Michael.
Mr. Paki, we go to
a little louder.
Mr. Paki, we go to Almanac and make it. I don't know if you got a knowledge of the special. I'm just going to indicate the last Shiva, we know, so Almanac is Tsar, the Tsar of the Shah.
So the language already, whether it's a Yeshbo Din Ganav, is perfectly clear that this isn't just an incidental result of lack of interest in keeping the Kenyan, keeping the Chepetz, but whether or not that affects the quality in Chabal Chidusho in terms of the Isser. Go ahead, continue. Right. This is also an important issue. We discussed it last year, those who were here. Remember, Michael, in what context? Anybody remember? Shlichus Varver, right? Also the Ksos and the Shach and the whatever. Can you talk about Shlichus Advar there? Can there be even two parties? Is Shlichus Yad? Well, we'll hopefully get a chance to speak about Shlichus Yad more fully. Is Shlichus Yad Dafka situation of Pikadon, or is it Dafka Gavra Shomer? But let's continue. Go ahead. Okay.
The last one is
So the point is, A, the language of the Ksos, B, the Raya from Shichasad we already mentioned yesterday shows that he's not Mechalik between Geneva and Gazela. He assumes that they are one and the same. But then the last point, as we just noted, is that he sees that there might be a Chiluk between rightly Amanas L'Shalem and Amanas L'Hachzir, but he's happy to bring a Raya from one to the other. So he's saying Kol Shekein, but he doesn't think it's a killer. If the issue was, it's not a deal breaker for his suffix. If the issue was that the problem is that you don't have any intention of keeping the chayfets, and therefore, that's the reason that there are no kinyanim per se, then of course there's a huge difference between Amanas L'Shalem and Amanas L'Hachzir, and that goes back to Avi Gil's point. In other words, if it's going to be Amanas L'Shalem, then you are miskaveh to keep the la'akev as a chayfets, liknos as a chayfets. So obviously, the Ksos Safek has nothing to do with that particular point. It really has to do with the quality of Amanas to make. Having said that, there's also another reason why this is probably so, and that is that where we find is just we can foreshadow when we do those other topics, but where we find the distinction between Kinyane Gzela and Chiyuve Gzela, generally, the reference is, I'll take the Rivet as the example, the paradigm, it has to do with Shinui Kona. Or maybe Yirush Shini Kona, but perhaps we'll distinguish between Yirush and Shini, but we'll get to that. In other words, what the Ravid says is that when you have a Shol Shalomi Das, since he doesn't want to keep the Chayfetz, he just wants to use it illegally, and that's Gzela, but he doesn't want to keep the Chayfetz, he wants to return it to the owner. There's no designs on the ownership of the Chayfetz, if there's no Kavana Lekinyan. And therefore, he will not have Shinui Kona. But he will have a Chiyuv Onsin. The truth is that Chiyuve Onsin are generally associated not with Kinyane Gzela, but with Chiyuve Gzela. And why that should be so, we'll get to. But the fact is that it is so. And that's clear also from the Sugya in Sanhedrin, which we'll discuss a lot, and that is the Gemara in Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, Baba Machteres, there too. It's true from a number of Makoros. So the Ksos's Safek here isn't just whether or not, Shinui Kona will apply to Amanas L'Mekat. But whether Chiyuv Onsin will apply. Namely, it's really mistafik. Not only are there kinyanim, but are there chiyuve gzela, or maybe all there is an iser and a shame ganav. And really more than two permutations. And that's why I think it's very, very important as one of the pieces in establishing the Amanas L'Mekat is different. Okay, but I appreciate the question, but I think that's the answer. And then one other issue just to go back to, and that's very quickly, on Los Achmod. At the time in Los Achmod, I mentioned that I'm not aware of Rishonim who say that that there's Malkus on Los Achmod. And I'd like to find such Rishonim, but the Rambam is the one who said clearly no. And the Ravid agreed, I think post-Rambam. Each one gave his own explanation, and so on. As for there being objective evidence, what I said was, I don't think there's any objective evidence that proves that there's no Malkus for Los Achmod. Conceivably, there's no Mechilta or Gemara, as far as I know of, that says explicitly, or Yerushalmi, that says explicitly there's no Malkus. I think the Rambam is the first one to have said this explicitly, as far as I know. Does anybody disagree and think that there is Malkus for Los Achmod? So, two Ha'aros on that. So Yosef brought to my attention that if you put together Tosis in Bab Metzia, Samech Aleph Amud Aleph, and Tosis in Bab Metzia, Hayam and Beis, this is what I understood that he was saying. Don't tell me in a moment whether I'm misquoting because there's a problem. Samech Aleph Amud Aleph and Hayam and Beis, then maybe Balei Tosis would hold that there is Malkus for Los Achmod. Meaning, where's Yosef? There is. Yeah. Meaning, what Tosis in Samech Aleph Amud Aleph? Yeah, Tosas here says, why don't you say the lavar l'bishnei lavin v'lukme v'intomer v'lukme begezel gufei v'lavar l'bishnei lavin. Instead of saying kovr schar sacher gets you to lavin, why not say that a regular gezel gets you both gezel and oshek? Right? On the other side, v'yishlomar mishum de loloki alav the gezel mishum de nitak lase avakim ukmina kovr schar sacher v'meirini loki shapir. So it sounds like Tosas has a rule here that the only time that you ever say lav or olav b'shnei lavin is when you get malchus. I'm not sure whether we have to conclude that from even these lines in Tosfos. It could be that if you have a choice between the two, that maybe you go for the, I guess, the more forceful one. But the Maram, I was looking around, the Maram definitely reads Tosfos that way as well. That Tosfos is saying here that Lav Rala B'Shnei Lavin only applies when there's double Malkus, not when there is just double Issur. So Yosef was saying, Yosef, go ahead. Right, Tosa says on Ham and Beis that what do you need, Los Achman and Los Igzal? Lav Rala B'Shnei Lavin. So he says if Lav Rala B'Shnei Lavin always means Malkus based on Samach Aleph and Aleph, so then put it together in Ham and Beis. You should also get two Lavin. Two Malkias, correct? But my response was, A, we're not sure that everybody has to agree with that Tosas on Samach Aleph and Aleph. But what I missed at the time was, more than that, or maybe I said it at the time, was that does Tosas on Ham and Beis think that Gzela is Nitan the Malkus? What would you say about that? Oh, you don't need double Malkus according to Tosfos and Samach Aleph? An additional Malkus. I mean, oh, I see. That's not the simple reading of Tosfos and Samach Aleph either, is it? Okay, maybe. So we just have to. The Maran thinks that it's really a rule about two Malkios. So I hear. So maybe we have to refine that. If we want to say that Tosfos and Samach Aleph would be saying that you. You never have Lav Rala B'Shnei Lavin for two Isurim. There has to be some increment beyond that. So it's got to be either one or two Mal. If you have, and then if you put it together, so Tosas and Bamitzia is saying Lo Sigzal is no Malkus, but the Lo Sachmod is a Malkus. That's what you want to say. Okay. So, but the only way to explain that, I think, logically, would be to say kind of what I said, which is that it isn't. Unless it's just a word game in Torah, which is that it's not Lav Rala B'Shnei Lavin, you know, you get a double punishment, you know, for one Mechayiv, it would be better if it was two Mechayivim. If it was two Mechayivim, of course, once you say it's two Mechayivim, then the question is, do you really still need to conform with Tosfos B'Mitzia Samach Aleph? Because you might say Tosfos B'Mitzia Samach Aleph has this rule that there's no point in having additional Lavors, unless you accomplish something by it, whether it's two or an additional Malkus. But if it's two Mechayvim, do you still have the same rule? Maybe that, then everybody would agree, Lavor on Mishnah. But if you don't, then I think you'd have to say this this combination. What's interesting is I was looking at the Minchas Chinuch again, inspired by Noah asked me a question, but okay, we'll get to it in a minute, and Minchas Chinuch goes the opposite way. Interesting. Bartov, you saw that too, and you want to comment on it? Or? Okay, just hold off 1 second. The Minchas Chinuch in Reish Chaf Tes has a different suggestion based on Tosfos B'Mitzia Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. He says, if you look at Tosfos B'Mitzia Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, the as the Marsha actually read the Tosfos, so it turns out that isn't Malkus for Onoah of Aribis? Well, Onoah of Aribis are Nitan the Tashlumin. So if you have, the Rambam seems to have a rule that Davar Shenitan, the Tashlumin, is not subject to Malkus. The Marsha on Tosfos and B'Mitzia Samach Aleph Amud Aleph says that that rule is not accepted by the Bali Tosfos. And therefore, Onoah B'Ribis should be subject to Malkus, even though it's Nitan the Tashlumin. It's only Nita Klase that is not subject to Malkus, but not Nitan Tashlumin. How do you explain Geneva, Gzela? What about Chayfetz Shenisraf? It seems like, you know, the Gemara also thinks that in that case there's no Malkus, Gemara B'Mitzia. Well, we'll discuss that so good in detail. But the truth is that it's not really such a problem for Bali Tosfos, because Bali Tosfos actually say that Nita Klase applies even La'achar Sreifa, meaning the Heshavs like Zeyla Shirkazal doesn't apply. Ram holds that Heshavs like Zeyla Shirkazal applies only to the band. Bali Tosfos hold that it applies even for the money. So even when you return the money because the chepetz is destroyed, according to the Rambam, that's nitan the tashlumin, but according to Bali Tosfos, that's actually that is nitan klase. Anyways, onah v'ribis are not nitan klase, but they are nitan the tashlumin, but according to the Marsha's reading of Tosfos, they would be subject to Malkus. Oh, So if that's the case, so the Minchas Chinuch here in Reish Chav Tes is really looking to find a Malkus for Los Achmos. He's looking hard. And for Gzela, for that matter, too. Again, this is what I mentioned the other day. This is, you know, bread and butter for the Minchas Chinuch. So what will the cases be? So he has a suggestion. He says, listen, according to Bali Tosas, one second, it's Reish Chav Tes, Dalid. I'm sorry. Hey. Da, the Mivur Barama that goes over Mishum Shlosha Lavin, Lo Sigzo, Lo Sasava, Lo Sachmod, Umikomoka, Me Lokin, etc. But then he writes, I think that there are following circumstances in which there could be Malkus for Lo Sachmod. And that is, if you hold like a Balitosis, what I just said, if you hold like a Balitosis and the object is destroyed, Avlin Nisrafu Etzlo, Imkain Eni Yochel Lahachsir, the Gamba Tashlumi Menachayiv, Imkain Bavade Lokin Kakolalabin Anitkin Lase. So the Minchas Chinuch has this possibility. I'm not finding the exact line that I wanted. Just one more second. Oh, here it is. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. It's Os Zion. So he says, Ach Ein Tosus Sham, Heyamid Beis, Talav Belo Sachmo, Dafka, Belo Damid Hanu Gazan, Imkin Kosva Torah, Shnei Lav, and Alag Zela. Imkain osi ase umenatik la. In other words, he says, according to Tosas, Bamatsiya Samachala Fomid Aleph, Rivasana Lokin de Lavanikum Tashum and Lokin in Lomita Klase, Imkain Bakog Zela Yechai of Malkus Machmasamach Losachmod. Again, every Losachmod is not Nita Klase. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says the equivalent of a Heshev is like Zela Asher Gazal for Losachmod. And therefore, according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter. According to the Raida, anyway, the Rambam and the Raida, it's nitam the tashlumin. But according to Bali Tosus, so why didn't you get Malkus? That's his question. However, he says, given what Tosus says, which is labra all of bishnayim, achay and Tosus sham heyamid based alav lo tachma dafke velo dami dahinu gazlan imken kosva torah shnei lavin alag zela. In Cain, Asi Ase, Umenatikla, Ubegezel, Chad Ase, Menatik, Trelavi. This is what I wanted to bring to your attention. This is the opposite of what I just said. Minchas Chinuch thinks that according to Tosin Bam Metzia, he also wants to put together Tosin Bam Metzia, Hamad Beis, and Tosin Bam Metzia, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, but in a very different way. He's suggesting that if you hold that dafke lav anita klase is potter, not lav shel tashlumin, then one would think that you should get malchus for los achmo. But then he says the opposite. However, if you look at Tosas Bamitzia Hayomid Beis, then the conclusion that you should reach is that los achmo and los sigzol are two sides of the same coin, and then the nita klase of los sigzol will apply to los achmo as well. But according to, again, what I was saying way back then, which is that lav rala b'shnayim in Tosas doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that it's a dinning zela. What it may mean is that basically Tosas was asking, why do you need lo sachmod? After all, every lo sachmod is a case of gezel, so it's covered by nisur in the Torah anyway. And Tosas answers lav rala b'shnay lavin, meaning two mechayvim, two different dinim have nothing to do with each other. You can have gezel without sachmod. You can have sachmod perhaps without gezel. But either way, it's important, lav or l'b'shnei lavin, because it's two different ideas. And, if indeed Yosef is correct, basically I was saying, if you hold like Tosas Bamitzia Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, So, and you also assume that that would be true even in Tumah Chayvim. So then, maybe he's correct that the Lavar L'Bishnei Lavin, it's possible that you have Malkus for this, but you don't have Malkus for that. So all I'm pointing out now is that the Luchas Chinuch, for a different reason, wanted to suggest that for Tosin Bam Mitzia, Samach Aleph, there's Malkus for Losach Mod, but Dafka says there's not, based on Bam Mitzia, because he assumes that the Nitak Laseh will apply Bein Begezel, Bein Bechimud. That's because he's assuming 100% the opposite of what I was saying. And that is that the Lavar L'Bishnei Lavin means a clone of Gezel. So that's consistent with another point in the Minchas Chinuch. This is the point that Noah asked me about. That is, the Minchas Chinuch, again, doesn't rest easy. He tries other things as well. So number one, he suggests, maybe when it comes to Abadim, Shtaros, and Karkaos, where there's a lav, but it's not the Ikar Iser, Ikar Lav Eino Bigzela, Imkein Gezel Abadim, Shtaros, VeKarkaos, VeNisrafu, Yaloka Mishum Los Achmod, to have a lav sheyesh b'maisa, v'lo nitan l'tashlum in gamkein. So he suggests that when it comes to Avodim Karka and Shtaros, maybe there are nitan to Los Achmod. But then he goes a step further. This is what he asks: Od nearly, dim gazal afilu metaltalim, v'nisrafu achakach delokin, after lav delot sigzal ein lokin, kivin the mechuyev l'shalem. This is for the Rambam now. Mikom makom lokin mishum lav delo sachmod. The after mishalem mikom makom over belav delo sachmod l'shitas Rambam v'harayvin. So what's he talking about? What does that mean? The Rambam said that lo sachmod is a lav she'ein b'maisa. How can he now suggest that for the Rambam you get malchus for lo sachmod in a case where you burn, where you destroy the be'ed? Oh. So to this you have to go back a little bit. And that is to Os Hey. Now, correct. Os Hey. In Os Hey, he explains the following. Again, the Minchas Chinuch did not interpret the Rambam. Not only did he not interpret Tosis the way I interpreted it, he didn't interpret the Rambam at all the way I suggested either. I suggested for the Rambam that, again, that Losachmod and Gezel are two different dinim, right? Spina Kiva's concern about Hilchos Gezela, which is a legitimate concern. Basically, they're two different dinim completely, and that's what he means when he says that Losachmod is Lav Shein B'maisa, meaning even though you always need to the Tanai of Lekichas Achevet Shechamad, it doesn't make a difference. The violation is a violation of Chimud Bole, as we explain. If that's true, so the cornerstone of what I was saying was that the Rambam and the Raivit are mutually exclusive. The Raivit doesn't like the Rambam's reason for the same reason that the Rambam doesn't like the Raivit's reason, because they have two totally different views on what Losachmod is and its connection to Chamsa. The Minchas Chinuch disagrees. Minchas Chinuch thinks that the Rambam and the Raivit argue about a particular detail, but that basically the Rambam agrees with the Raivit. The Minchas Chinuch says, V'da, this is Osei, the Mevur of the Rambam that goes all over Mishum Shlosh Alavin, even the way he says it already, Mishum Losigza Losasava Losachmod. Is that really true? That every Goslin violates automatically Losachmod Velosasava? That's not what the Rambam says. Right? The Rambam says that Losasava leads to Losachmod, Losachmod leads to Losigza, but the Rambam never said that every Zela includes. What? He sounds like he says that. That's right. Unless you asked me that before. And maybe that's what motivated the Minchas Chinuch. I thought I was explaining it in terms of the backward causal, but he doesn't say it initially. He says that as part of his explanation of what this is doing in Ochos Gzela and the causal chain. There he does say it, you're right. But he doesn't say it initially when he talks about, when he introduces Los Achmod to begin with, he doesn't say that every Gzela is Los Achmod. But then he goes on and he explains, Ayin Shem Perek Aleph Ochos Gzela. You're right, Halacha Yud Beis, he quotes. U'mikamakom ein lokin, Kivin de Niptan the Tashlumim after Yeshua Maisa. So when you read the Minchas Chinuch, what's he talking about? That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam doesn't say that he's Pater because of Yeshua Maisa. The Rambam says he's Pater because of Yeshua Tashlumim. The Rambam's Pater says he's Pater because of Leisba Maisa. So you have to read on a little bit. Ba'ain Rambam Sham, the Gabinosan Dabim, the Mekach Kayim, Velo Nitali Shabon, Humishum de Inba Maisa, the Shasa Kichach Zachefetz, in over. Aval, and then he says, Ayin Shom Magid Mishnah. Aval Khan, after Yesh Bamaisa, Mikomokom, in a Chayiv, Mishun Denitan Lehishabon. Ba'ayin Baraita. So what emerges is the following. The Minchas Chinuch understood that the Rambam and the Ravid argue about one point only. The Rambam also agrees with the Ravid that Los Achmar is a form of Gezel. And he thinks that Tosfos holds that way too. Absolutely. And therefore the principle of Nitan Lehishavon, applies according to the Rambam as well. There's only one issue that the Rambam and Ravid argue about, and that is, how do you define Maisa when it comes to Los Achmar? If you pay for a chefetz, is that considered a Maisa or not? If I take something but I pay for it, is the paying neutralizing the taking? The definition of taking as a Maisa Avera, according to the Minchas Chinuch, reading of the Rambam, is taking without any form of compensation. Technical argument between the Rambam and the Ravid, or maybe more than technical, whether or not taking a be'en but paying for it constitutes a maisa avera. Yeah.
I think that it could be that if you're mechayim, if you have the mace, then you're over owning all the sophomore element of the more sleos issue.
I don't think so. That's what you were saying too. I don't like that. That's why I looked over and I've come to my conclusion is that it doesn't mean that at all. I think what he means is, I think the way he sounds from beginning to end is no. Even according to the Rambam, Chimud is Gezel. And that's what it's doing in Uchas Gzela, and that's why he thinks he likes Halakha Yabes, which Joe correctly points out is where he gets it from, which is that you always violate one, and he thinks that this is true for Tosis, he thinks it's true for everybody. Again, Lekula and Lechumra, right? Because he'll say for Tosis and Bamitzia, Lavanita Klase is going to apply to Los Achmar. I think that's the point. But, if you look very carefully, I think what he's saying is, only one Nekuda Samachlokas with the Ravid. The Rambam holds out the Ravid. And where does the Ravid get it from? That there's no Malkus, that the Hashava of Gzela, or Nitan the Tashlumin of Gzela, applies to Los Achmod. Because it's a form of Chamas and Gezel. That's all. He even points to the Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah discussion that he's referring to, I believe, is the issue of Rotsani and so on. So basically what he's saying is, if you take a be'en and you pay for it, that's an Issur Los Achmod, but that's not considered enough of a Maisa. The fact that you exchange value for the be'en is enough, according to the Rambam, just one more second, to neutralize the Maisa. So what you have is a lot of shame by Maisa. But Gezel of Los Achmod, or Gezel, is a Maisa, not only of Gezel, but of Los Achmod. And therefore, it's a Lav Shiyesh B'Maisa. And therefore, you need the reasoning of the Ravid Tashlumen. The Ravid disagrees on that point. The Ravid thinks that if you take a Be'en and you pay for it, that's also a Maisa. That's the only argument between the Rambam and the Ravid as far as the Minchas Chinuch is concerned. So therefore, the Minchas Chinuch says over here in Os Ches, Im Gazal Afilu Metaltalin V'Nisrafu Achakach Loke. Why? Because now, what happened here? He did a Gzela. The Gzela, right, generates Los Achmod with a Maisa. The only thing is that it's Nitan, the Tashlumin, L'Hashava, I should say. It's Nitan Lahashava, but in this case, it's only Nitan Lahashava and not the Tashlumin. This is the brilliant point of the Minchas Chinuch, if you accept the whole thing. It's Nitan Lahashava, but not the Tashlumin. Why? From a Gzela point of view, it's Nitan the Tashlumin, but from a Los Achmod point of view, even when you pay for it, you violate Los Achmod. So if you're talking about the Lav being Nitak, right, the Tashlumin is not going to help you. The only thing that could possibly help you is actually returning the Chefetz. So Minchas Chinuch says, if you steal Chefetz and then you destroy it, right? So from a Gezel point of view, what is it? Lav shenitan the Tashlumin ve'elokin alav, but you violate Yisur Gzela. But from a Los Achmod point of view, what did you do? You did a Maisa because you didn't pay B'shas Maisa, right? But now you've destroyed the avenue that gives you the Hashava, Shavas at the end, that gives you the Ptur, Malkus. So what happens? Chaim Malkus. So he says, according to the Ravid, it's even more. Because according to the Ravid, even in a case where you pay for the chepetz and then you destroy it, because according to the Ravid, there's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. The only thing is that it's nitan lehashava. Right? So according to the Ravid, any case where you do lo sachmod and then you destroy the chepetz, before you give it back, you get malchus. And according to the Rambam, only in a case where there's gzeilas lo sachmod. But I don't think that there are two dinim. There are two lo sachmods in the Torah, because there are two versions of the Aseres HaDibros. But it would be very strange to say that the Isser of lo sachmod contains two completely different dinim in it. According to what I'm suggesting, the way the Menachas Chinuch understands the Rambam, there's one lo sachmod. It's a form of gezel. It's just whether or not you consider it to be a maisa when you compensate. And he has a very nice line. I just want to finish with this. That it's not lavrol for the Rambam b'shnei lav. No, it's for the Tosis. It's lavrol b'shnei lav. For the Rambam, it's a form of gezel, but within gzela, it's or chamas. But within gzela and chamas, it's emphasizing right a different point, namely the be'en, as opposed to simply the money. That's why there's an iser. So that's what he explains for both the Rambam and the Ravid. After Mishalim become Mokom over Belav Zeh. After Ein Lokin, Mipnei Nitan Lishavon, Gufa Chefetz, Avala Nisra Fachefetz, Bevade Lokin Arayvin. Hilam Mishim Mamon Chavero, who rock Gufa Chefetz, the Gufa Chefetz, Yavshem Bechazara, Akash Nisra, Imkain, who Adin Begozo Venisra Navi. So it emerges according to the Minchas Chinuch's reading of both the Ravid and the Rambam, in addition to the point of Machlokes, is that for him it's a gezel of the Be'en. Even according to the Rambam, the gzela form of it, as opposed to the chamsan form of it, is midin primarily gezelas ha-be'en. And certainly that is true for the Ravid. There are two types of gzela. There's a gzelas mamon and exelas be'en, but those of these are form of exel. Then in the end, he says, "Kain nirali bara ve'ezus Hashem is barach, v'lo ra'isi la'mefarshim shis oru al zeh, v'gam Rambam perikid kaser sanedri lo mana klal lav zeh b'chlal alokim." He says, "I don't understand that." Of course, according to what we were saying, which is the Rambam really holds that it's a lav shem b'maisa, has nothing to do with whether you pay, you don't pay. The problem isn't figuring out a case where which qualifies and is defined as maisa. It's that it's a hilchos deos halacha. It's about machshavto belibo tachbulosa, as we explain. So then, of course, that's what it means in Perek Yudches Hilchos Sanhedrin. There are no circumstances. So I don't think this is the pshat in the Rambam, but this is the Minchas Chinuch's reading of the Rambam and of the writing, which I think is very important. So I thank you for bringing it to my attention. But I don't think there are two dinim here at all. I think the Ravid and the Rambam are one halacha. They argue on a specific point. Okay, yeah.
I just remembered at the beginning of Shira Sefer Hasidim that I saw over the summer. It's relevant to yesterday's Sunday's discussion of different types of zela, or altruistically motivated zela. Sefer Hasidim talks about a case where there's a person who asks a shayla, says, "People are stealing things from my father."
Right.
And eventually, all of his cousin will be gone very soon.
Okay.
And he won't have anything to support himself with, and I won't have any yusha.
Which one bothered him more? Yeah, go ahead.
And I went and I stole everything that my father had left. And that way, nobody's going to steal from me. From him, they feel comfortable.
So, very interesting.
And
he stole in order to safeguard.
Right. And he asked the Shaila. And originally, I guess the Sefer Rabbi Yehuda Hassid answered him, "You have to go give it back. You can't keep it."
Right.
And then he said, "But, you know, if I give it back, then people are going to, you know, take it all
plunder.
My father won't have anything left." And he said, "Okay, you can keep it."
So what does that mean? I mean, what's a change of heart? I mean, that he originally didn't take him seriously and then he took him seriously?
I'm not sure what the shack of the title was.
Uh-huh. Do you know what a number is?
It was within two OCOs of Tavkuf Pehe.
Tavkuf Pehe. Okay, we'll try to look it up. Try to look it up. Okay, that's very interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Again, that goes on the list with the Ben Bagbag. And again, it's not as far as Ben Bagbag, but it may be more than certainly Amnas, Lumekad, or Lashalem. Etc. I think it's a very, it is a very interesting case. Okay, good. And then finally, just to mention something that Ephraim brought up originally. We'll get back to this still. and that is, how does all this coordinate? We have basically, in light of what we just said about the Minchas Chinuch reading of the Rambam, we've accented further the idea of Gzeilas HaBe'en, where there's no Gzeilas Mamon at all. And yet it's a form of Gzeila. And we've been discussing whether maybe there's no such violation at all. Amanas, maybe that's what Amanas Lamekad is. There's no actual Hefsed at all. So what about, in addition to the Chamsin question and the question of Amanas Lamekad, what about the sugya on Samech Amud Beis, Samech Amud Aleph, I'm sorry, which is Gonev, or Gozel rather, Amanas Lashali. So I'll try to get back to that, but that's the Gemara says, do I have everything in Baba Kama? Somebody have a Baba Kama? Right, the Gemara talks about what exactly took place. Second. The context of the Gemara is Talmud Be'esh, but the Gemara here says, in a second, where is that? Asamach Be'esh. Ba'yisaved David, ba'yomer mishakeni ma'ayin libar Be'esh lachem, asher bachar, ba'yivku, shloshes ha'gibarim ma'achanek teshtim, ha'yishavu ma'ayin libar Be'esh lachem, asher bachar, etc. Ma'ayka mibaylei. So what was the Shaila? So the Gemara has different deos. Tamun Be'esh Kami Vayla, which is what it's doing here, Ikar Bidu Krabbanan, the Pashtulay Mai Pashtulay, or Gdishim, Disorin the Yisrael Havam, the Havam the Tamu Plishnim Bu, Kami Vayla, Mao Mahatzalatzal, the Mamun Chamero, another very important sugya, whether Asur or Chayib, or Mutter, Lahatzalatzal, the Mamun Chamero, or Gdishim, Disorin the Yisrael Havu, Ugdishim, the Adashim, the Plishnim. The Kami Vayla, Mao Lito, Gdishim, Shal Sorim, the Yisrael, Lita the Fnei Behemto, Amanas the Shalem, Gdishin Shal Adashin the Plishin. Shokolein quotes the Pasuk in Cheskel, Chavol Yashiv Rasha, Gzela Yishalem. Hamdish Gzela Mishalem, right? Rasha. Chavol Tamelech, right? Melech Poretz, Lasa Soderech, Vemokim Biyado, etc. So this Gemara discusses on some level what seems to be Gzela Amanas the Shalem. But there are some Rishonim who say that this isn't Gzela Amanas L'Shalem, it's Mazik Amanas L'Shalem. The Pasuk sounds like it's Gzela, Shkach. The Pasuk sounds like it's Gzela. Some Rishonim understand that it's Gzela, but others understand that this is Mazik. So this also has to be coordinated with the Sugya of Chamson and with the Sugya of Amanas L'Meka. Again, it could be that it's technically a little bit different too. Question like in the case of Chamsin also. You give the money right away, you intend to give the money, the person accepts the money, you throw the money at the person. What exactly is going on? But this is a sugya that needs to be coordinated. You should look at the Mordechai and the Bach, discuss this in terms of the Gzela versus Mazik aspect of it. Maybe we'll get back to it and sum that up. But this sugya belongs with what we've been doing. Okay. Now let's move on to Ben Noach and Pachos Mishonapruta. At least let's begin with that. Eliyahu, right? Right? Krakowski. What? No. Eliyahu Krakowski. In the back. Towards the back. You have the Gemara in Sanhedrin? We can read either of them, or both of them. Read both of them very quickly. So let's begin with that. So there are three main Gemaras. What would you say the main Gemaras? Elio? Nun Zion, correct. Nun Tes. What's the other main Gemara? What? Avodah Zarah, correct. These are the three primary Gemaras that enlighten us as to the problem of Pachos Mishavapruta for Yisrael and for Ben Noach. Okay. So let's start with, if you don't mind, start with Nun Zayin Omer Aleph. I'll just go through the Gemaras quickly and see what we can make of them. Okay? And we read this Gemara already. Let's just run over it quickly again, quickly. And just a little louder, so. Yeah. So we already have, just a little louder, Eliyahu. So what do we have here? A distinction between Akuti is always Chayim, right? And Yisrael, what? Kuti b'kuti b'kuti b'Yisrael asur. Yisrael b'kuti is mutter. One thing we already could ask the question, is kuti b'kuti and kuti b'Yisrael the same? Halacha? Or not? What? Is kuti b'kuti and kuti b'Yisrael the same din or not? Is this another way of saying that whenever the kuti is the gazlan, then that's the halacha, or is it different whether it's kuti be kuti or kuti be Yisrael? So not clear, right? It's not clear. Is Gemara talking about three cases or two cases? Okay, so that's something to look at. That's going to be clarified hopefully a little bit. And what about Yisrael b'kuti mutter? Right, that we'll have to figure out what the case is. Go ahead. Yeah. The Gemara is wondering whether or not it's Chiv Misa or not. The Gemara says it really is Chiv Misa, but we want to say Seifa Yisrael Bakuti is Mutter. So this has to be some sort of a case here where Gzela Gezel Akum or Gezel Kuti is Mutter. Okay, we'll have to see what the case is though. Okay, go ahead. So the Gemara is trying to prove linguistically when he uses the expressions also chayim, how meduyak is that? Go ahead. Oh, so it's not mutter, right? So therefore, you have to say the first one as chayim. But in our case, where it's mutter, so they said asur to contrast it with mutter. Good. Okay, fine. Continue. Okay, this is why this is our topic, right? So the Gemara is saying now that the case of Kiyotze Bohem, which sounds like it's some sort of a bigger chiddush, some sort of an extension, is a case of pachos mi pruta. So now the Gemara is going to zero in on the issue. Go ahead. Ihachi. Oh, so this is the first time. Now this is the Gemara is telling us that Yisrael pachos mi pruta, Yisrael pachos mi pruta, right, is based on Mechila. Oh. So what does that mean?
Sounds like Mechila doesn't get rid of the
Mechila. And so what about Yisrael be Yisrael? This is a very important Gemara. But the Gemara is asking if there's Mechila. This is a very crucial Gemara. The Gemara is saying, Kuti b'Yisrael, Asur, Habar Mechila, where's the money? If financial loss is a Mechayev in Gzela, right, there's no financial loss here because he's not Makbid. That's what the Gemara is asking. Right? So what's the Gemara's answer? Eliyahu? We know the words tziratzmo, but what just translated in terms of the lumdus of it. So what's the Gemara's answer?
It's still a nice
Ah, Maybe. Or what else could it be?
Or that the chiyuv.
So if you say your, let's say your first idea, which is I think the most promising, is it still a ma'aseh geneva, and that's characterized by which words? What? No. I mean, is that characterized by the words tzir atzmo, right? Tzir b'shaite. Is that what you just said? Tzare b'shaite. Tzare b'shaite, which implies that the ma'isa. I mean, it's two things. The havamina was that that money is koveya for gezel, and the Gemara's maskana is. It's a ma'isa avera. It's an act of being mitzar as chavero, right? That's why I mentioned the other day when we spoke about amanas lemekat that lemekat, the words lemekat means litzar. That it's very interesting to put it together to juxtapose it with this gemara. Right? Except that this gemara may be only about kuti liyisrael. So maybe that's something to consider. We'll have to figure that out. Is it only, is this Gemara Eliyahu? Is this Gemara only about Kuti Yisrael? Is it only also Kuti Yisrael? You know, what you're saying is correct. The Gemara's Havamina was Mamo. Gemara's saying, Letzar, Tzar, Anafshe, Maisa, Beira. So, at minimum, if that's what the Gemara's saying, the Gemara's saying that even if there's no money, there's a Maisa, Beira, it's Mechayev when it comes to Ben Noach. Now we should ask ourselves, is that true only for Ben Noach? Or is it also true for Yisrael? So what about that? The simple reading of the Gemara is that Yisrael to Yisrael is not a problem. Or not necessarily. Is this Gemara saying that Yisrael to Yisrael is not a problem? It seems like it's not as much of a problem as Kuti Yisrael, but does that mean it's not a problem at all? What? It could be it's still a problem. What kind of problem? What? I mean, the simple reading of this Gemara, we're trying to figure out, the Gemara is challenging, the Gemara is saying, Kiyotzba means Pachas Mishava Pruta. So the Gemara says, if it's Pachas Mishava Pruta, so fine, that's good for a guy and a guy, but what about a guy in Yisrael? Right? Why is a chiyuv misa in that case? So the Gemara says mitzare benafshe. I'm trying to figure out what's the Gemara's havamina, what's the Gemara's maskara. So you said, unless I'm misquoting you, that the havamina was the Gemara thought it's about money. The Gemara said it's mechila, so it's not a problem. Right? We still don't know what the scoop is with kuti b'kuti, but we'll get to that in a second. Right? But kuti b'yisrael is not about money. It's mitzare anafshe. So I'm saying. And that shows us that if you take money out of the picture, Maisa Gneva or Maisa Gzela is still Mechayev Misa for Benoach. Does that help us with Yisrael at all? Gzela's Yisrael? I mean, we're interested in knowing the Dinim for Benoach too. Right? It's also part of Tavu. But does it help us for Yisrael, or is Yisrael off the hook here? Does it mean that for Yisrael, to Yisrael, it's Dafka about money? Yisrael to a for a kuti Yisrael, it's about a ma'isa aveira. That might be the conclusion of this Gemara. Or is there some way to consider that this factor of mitzar and nafshe still applies to Yisrael? But clearly, there's a difference between kuti and Yisrael and Yisrael and Yisrael. Right? That doesn't mean that it doesn't apply at all, right? Why? How might it apply? On the level of not chiyu but iser, right? That's what we'll have to get to. But we already know the shita sarambam, which is that even though you don't violate fully pachos mi shavapruta, you do violate some sort of an iser. There is some sort of an iser, right? So we'll get back to it. So it could be that this conversation in the Gemara is limited to kuti b'yisrael, or maybe it has some importance for Yisrael b'Yisrael on a lower level of the full aveir. Okay, continue. Then the Gemara says, "Mila." So now another point in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that what? That Kuti Bakuti, Bakuti, B Israel are two different dinim. Kuti Bakuti is a din of Gezel Ma'alya. Right?
Yes.
Why? Because La B'nei Mechila Ninu. So the Gemara now is putting B'nei Mechila Ninu is the reason that Yisrael and Yisrael is Pater, and it's also the reason why Kuti Bakuti is Gezel Ma'alya Chayev. Meaning that's not just based on Mitzayar Nafshe, but it's based on money, a regular gezel. Pokos mi pruta legoi is the equivalent of pruta legoi. Okay? So the Gemara is saying, if that's the case, that's gezel ma'al, yeah? Go ahead. Ella, amravacha. Okay. So that's already, we discussed the kozit. Dafka kovet scars off here for other things, etc. But this, so what emerges from this shakla v'tarya is that kuti bakuti, because la b'nei mechila ninu is gezel ma'alya, Yisrael be Yisrael because of mechila, right, is, we're not sure, mutter? Or osur, but not chayiv? Never mind chayiv misa, there's no chayiv misa for Yisrael. But not in full violation, but maybe partial violation, we're not sure. Right? And kuti be Yisrael is not based on Gezel Ma'alya, but it's based on Kiyotzebo, which is Tzir Anashe. Okay. Is there another way, before we just continue, is there another way to explain Tzir Anashe other than saying Ma'is Avera? Is there a way to turn back the you know, to maintain the Havamina that it's about money? Danny?
For Kuti, that actually is turning out the money, even though it's
yeah, but the Yisrael is Mochel, isn't it?
From the perpetrator's perspective.
Oh, okay. Number one, from the perpetrator's point of view, it is still money. That's a factor to consider. As one could have said, well, that may be true, but it's irrelevant. But that's a factor to consider. Moreover, I think an additional element, yeah?
Before the
Mechila? Oh, what about the split second before the Mechila? Of course, you could ask this question, it's legitimate to ask this question by Yisrael v. Yisrael too. So we still need to explain the difference between Kuti v. Yisrael and Yisrael v. Yisrael. But if we take literally that it's... one thing the Gemara might be saying is that just because there is Mechila doesn't mean that there isn't an initial Hefsed Mamon. There's temporary Hefsed Mamon, and then there's Mechila. Of course, that depends on how you understand the Mechila. And either way, you would have to explain, if that was the case, why it is, and in the case of Yisrael v. Yisrael, why that wasn't a factor. So, yeah, Michael.
Can you explain that, why that for the Rambam, for the Jew, since he had the Shavuot, therefore when you return it, it makes it as if it never happened, that's a lot more important than keeps it popping up.
As opposed, I mean that the, even when it comes to Hefsed Mamon for Yisrael, where does the Heshev Sagzeh Lasher Gazal? So that's fixated on the future.
Right.
And since there will be Mechila, or in a split second, there's Mechila, so it's nothing.
Right.
But for the non-Jew, for whom there is, but you're assuming, you're making a big assumption, that there's no Hashava for a non-Jew.
Well, that's
where do you get that from, by the way?
You
didn't make that up. What?
From the
Yadavah. Well, I mean, okay. I mean, Rashi mentions it too, but where does it really come from? You're 100% right, but the question, although we still have to analyze what it means.
Oh, you mean...
where's this idea that the non-Jew is not subject to Hashem?
Oh, the Gemara and Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, the Gemara and Avodah Zarah says that, right? The Gemara and Avodah Zarah and the parallels to it in Erevin Samach Beis and Ibamos, those three Gemaras. Mention something that the Gemaras in Sanhedrin do not mention, and that is another difference between Yisrael and Akum seems to be regarding Hashem. But we'll have to see what the Rishonim say. What is the scope of that halacha? Is that really true? Is it only Kuti b'Yisrael? Is it even true Kuti b'Kuti? But I like what you're saying. What you're saying is, even if Tzir Nafshe means temporary Hefsed is enough, Timuchayev fully Fishum Hefsed, so why isn't that enough for Yisrael? Because, since there's a Nitali Shavon factor, so we're more forward-looking. I don't mean progressive. I mean, we look more to the, in the future, when it comes to Yisrael to define whether or not there's Hefsed Mamon, and for the Akum, the momentary Hefsed Mamon, Shema Hefsed Mamon, before the Mechila as well. He wants to be Mechol Kol, he's a nice guy. That doesn't mean you didn't take, you didn't Mechasa Mamona. But if there's a mechayev of hashava connected, so maybe that does mean that we don't define it as even have some moment to begin. That would be the most, if you put those two together, which is a nice idea, I think it's a little bit of a chiddush. I mean, it's not, you know, a davar pashut at all, but I think it's sayable. If you say that, that would be the most innocuous difference between, they'd basically be saying there's one mechayev, Yisrael, Yisrael, Kuti, 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 Yisrael. It's all a din of Hasid Mamon, plain and simple. Just there are certain technical differences, B'nai Mechila, La B'nai Mechila, and even though B'nai Mechila of Kuti Yisrael, the Tzir Atzmo for the temporary Tzir, considering we don't have the luxury of looking long term in this case because of lack of Hashava. Assuming lack of Hashava also means that. Yeah. You want to say something else?
I don't know. It's kind of crazy, but like, sweat.
I mean, the question is, do you want to ruin like a perfectly sane idea by attaching it to a crazy idea, or do you want to like wait a few minutes, or, you know, let this one stand on its own, and then?
No, might as well let it loose now. I mean, is it possible that the Gemara is contrasting a Jew would give to another Jew and a Jew what mechila is a Jew would give?
Well, the Gemara doesn't say that there's no mechila here. I think in theory one could have said that, but number one, Rachmanin b'nei Rachmanin.
No,
and we're really good people, and we don't discriminate. We're good to everybody, right? That's number one. And number two, the Gemara really doesn't. And the Gemara says Nehi. The Gemara says he will be Mocha.
No, right. But in terms of the timing, meaning
yeah, maybe. I mean, how implicit it is, or you know, maybe. If it's, I think this is another way to say what you were saying before, but without the Yishavon part. And I'm glad you brought it up. And I don't think that is particularly outrageous either. I mean, what he's suggesting, what Michael's suggesting is, I'm just going to say it a little differently, and he'll tell me if it's okay, if I ruined it or not, is that if there's a mutual mechila, so then the mechila is implicit and immediate and automatic, right? Because it's all part of like a social contract, and therefore the hefsid mamon never gets off the ground. But what the Gemara is saying is, listen, since I'm mochel you, because I'm a rachman ben rachman. And by the way, when we say rachman, I mean, there are plenty of Jews who don't behave as they should, as Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim, but they should. Right? Rambam calls it a siman, based on the Gemara Yavama, a siman l'bnei Avraham Avinu. And there are plenty of, you know, non-Jews who are very admirable and who behave in a manner of Rachmanim. We're talking about across the board and what you can expect and how automatic it is, which is why I think what you're saying is very good. Meaning, if there's a social compact, and that's, you know, the between Yisraels, that there's, you know, this arrangement of Rachmanus, b'nei Rachmanus, and it's mutual, reciprocal. So then the hefsid mamon doesn't get off the ground. But if it's if you steal my shava pruta, I'm going to mochel you. But if I steal your shava pruta, right, you're going to be an achzar as a group, and you're going to drag me to court. So even my rachmanus and my mechila, right, isn't viewed as something that is automatic, but something that comes after the fact. I think that's what you're saying? Could be. According to both of those perspectives, either the Hashava issue or this idea of the reciprocity having some sort of impact on the automatic Mechila or the immediacy of the Mechila, I think from both of those point of views, we're basically saying that the gap between Benoah, still a gap in terms of Chiyuv Misa, don't get me wrong, but in terms of other things, it's not much of a gap. Whereas if we take what Elio was saying, which I also like very much, which is the Gemara thought, money. Now the Gemara is saying, even absent money, tzir atzmo is a mechayev. Then the discrepancy seems greater. The only question is whether on the Easter side we still have it in Mamanus, or maybe even on the more than Easter side, but there's another element. Michael, right?
Could Rashi be supporting this idea of immediate mechila when he says that Chacham Shavapruta is something that it's not a davar?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But Rashi may be saying even more than that. We'll get to this in just a second. We're going to have to stop in a few minutes. But it could be that we're saying even more than that. It could be that we're saying it's automatic mechila. Or it could be that we're saying there's no shame mamon. For Yisrael, Pachas Mishava Pruta is not considered mamon, period. Now, that may be a result of automatic mechila, but it's going well beyond it. And as instead of saying, yeah, it's, you know, you don't even need to know that he was mochel. It's part of the social compact. What we're saying is, you know, two more extreme things. The most extreme thing Rashi may be saying is this isn't about mechila at all. It's just there's a certain, you know, threshold for shem mamon in Jewish society, and this doesn't achieve it. Or, because of the automatic and you know, fundamental value, you know, that stands behind automatic mechila, that's the reason that there's no shame. But either of those things is going beyond saying immediate automatic mechila. So I think your point is well taken, but I think Rashi may be saying even more. Well, we'll get to that in a second, too. Yeah?
By having the
name again?
Daniel.
Everybody, especially who's just, you know, new, just keep bombarding with it. It really helps a lot.
By having mechila, by not having every Jew being Moko the same way, rather than being like an archetype.
By what?
Like instead of, you said that not every Jew may be rock, just like that.
Right, I'm just saying the reality of life, unfortunately.
Would that make the halacha vary?
No. It seems like this halacha is, you know, is mekubal completely.
And even though somebody might not be Moko.
Right, I mean, what would happen if a guy insists that he's not Moko? I mean, that's something to look at. We'll get to that in a second. So I think it depends. If it depends on his actual mechila, then if a guy insists that he's not mochel, then he's not mochel. But if it's the impact of assuming mechila on shei mamon, which is a kind of middle position, then I think that is across the board in society. It's, you know, batel daitla and tzokaladam. But when I say batel daitla and tzokaladam here, I don't mean, you know, the legal system has to objectify and therefore it's going to have a low plug because otherwise it's a nightmare. I mean more than that. I mean, if indeed the people's nihug of Rachmanus, you know, in such an overwhelming amount of cases, really does define what is mamon in a certain society, then it really is batel daitla and tzokaladam. Meaning, it's not just low plug; it's
so
that, like, that's what defines.
So like time, but with,
yeah, we're gonna get with. Oh
time,
no,
with the ramen, but
yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. Absolutely, that's one of the that's a good mashal. What you guys
will say? Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely, we'll get to it in just a minute. Okay, so just to let's assess the Gemara's. Let's just get the Gemara's down first. So this Gemara is a very challenging Gemara on several levels. A, well, just to sum up what Eliyahu read, mechila nap mechila are factors that are brought into this Gemara, both for Yisrael, and for Kuti, right? We just don't. Based on our discussion already, we've already raised certain questions. What do we mean by mechila? We literally mean the guy is mochel actively, in which case it always comes after the fact. Do we mean that it's implicit and automatic? If it's implicit and automatic, does it even affect the shei mamon? Or we don't really mean mechila at all. What we mean about mechila is that there's no shei mamon. It's just a way of saying it. These are different levels to explain mechila. We'll get back to that. As for the discrepancy between kuti and Yisrael and Yisrael and Kuti and Yisrael, all four cases. So we have one way of looking at the Gemara in which the differences are very, very minor. Everything is still about Hefsin Mamon, just that for Kuti v'Kuti, there is it's always Hefsin Mamon, and even for Kuti v'Yisrael, there's an initial Hefsin Mamon. Okay. And there we need to say something like what Michael was suggesting, either one of his suggestions, if we want to keep that idea. Maybe the discrepancy between Yisrael and Kuti is conceptually doesn't exist. It's all practical. Tzir Atzmo and the momentary is to do with Hashava, has to do with reciprocity, and nothing else. But it's still about Hefsed Mamon. But if we go further and say something like, let me highlight it the other way. Let's say we take the view that Mechila doesn't even mean Mechila at all. Let's say it means no Shei Mamon, like what Rashi seems to say. Or even if we say that the Rachmanus, right, is result, creates the result of no shame mamon, which I think is a very fascinating idea. I like to call it the interface between, whatever you want to call it, Yoredeya and Choshen Mishpat, or Hilchos Deos and Hilchos, in this case, Nezikin. I think it's a very halachic, certain virtuosity in that idea. That namely, how you're supposed to behave to your fellow Jew ends up impacting what otherwise would seem to be a perfectly objective question: what is shei mamon in a society? Well, I'll explain further. But if you end up saying something like that, so then, if you take the most extreme one, you really have a problem, but a problem that'll highlight Eliyahu's approach. Namely, let's say you say there's no shei mamon and it's objective; it's not even because of Rachmanim and Rachmanim. Okay, the Gemara here doesn't say Rachmanim but Rachmanim. Rashi says it. No shame mamon. Belief, belief pruta. And for non-Jew. So at least if you say that the no shame mammon is a result of rachmanim b'nei rachmanim, but if you have people who are abzariim, or even if they're just not rachmanim b'nei rachmanim, so pachmi pruta has a shame mammon for them. So technically, for them it's gezel, and for these people it's not gezel. Great. Like, you'll still have trouble if you say that with the line of kuti b'Yisrael should seer us as a Yisrael, because for me it's not a shame mammon. It's a shame mammon for you, unless... So you have to say, oh, Gezel depends not on, depends on his revach and not on his hefset. Okay? Or you'll say what Eliyahu said, which is that it's Maisavera, that's all we can. But certainly if you say that objectively speaking, let's say there's no such thing as a shame mammon for Yisrael and a shame mammon for a non-Jew. Shame mammon is an objective concept across the board. You just have to figure out what is the Rubicon, what is the threshold. The threshold is pruta, that's the minimum. Anything else than pruta is not shame mammon. So then, how can kuti b'kuti be chayev? What do you mean, not b'nei b'chila? Very hard to understand. So here, you would be forced to say what Eliyahu said, which is, even though, objectively, it doesn't have a shame mammon, right, the fact is that since there is peda, it's still considered a ma'isavera. Ma'isavera, b'li shame mammon. And for Yisrael, that doesn't exist. Either it's not a Maisa Veira because of lack of Peda, or because for Yisrael we care about the Shem, the Hefset Mamon, and not, unlike for Kuti. So the implications, how you understand this question of Mechila and Shem Mamon and etc., are enormous on both sides of the equation. This is the approach. We now have to pin it down a little bit better. So we have one Gemara. So Gemara number one is the differences. We're not sure about the status of Yisrael, B'Yisrael, whether it's us or not. We know this idea of Tziar. We know what the issues and problems are. We know the Mechila factor. We still have more to figure out. Okay, that's one Gemara. Eliyahu, you want to take us through the other one? We'll stop in 1 more minute, but let's just get through the two Gemaras in Sanhedrin, and then we'll start on Thursday with... the Gemara of Adazara, and then we'll just put everything together. Just let's get through Muntes, a small Gemara. I can't hear. Does it start again? Yeah, what's going on? What's the background here? Yeah, so the Gemara says... Right? Sounds odd, right? Doesn't that seem reasonable?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a big statement. Right? Like a midam, the Yisrael Shari, ula'akum also. It's a very interesting and important issue. There's no such thing. We're not more machmer in Be'noach than they are in B'nai Yisrael. Okay, meaning?
It's not a chumrah on B'nai Noach. It's just that they don't have a situation in which it would be...
Yeah, the Hagdara, that's the definition of that. The circumstances don't exist. There's no parallel. So it looks like, if you look at it superficially, like we're machmir, but it's not that we're machmir. We just don't have those, that hechatimtzi, because halachically you don't have the definition of kibosh. Okay, continue. So the Havamina was, again, zero in on the Havamina. Eliyahu, the Havamina was that this is a Chumrah. This is a Chumrah of B'nai Noach that doesn't extend to Yisrael. That's the question. Like in Midam, there's no such thing. Answer is there is such a thing. There is Pachas Mishava Pruta. So it means that Pachas Mishava Pruta is applicable in some way. That's what we're saying to B'nai Noach, could have been said to Yisrael, but it's not. That sounds like the Gemara thinks that there's a difference in the Mechayiv of Gezel for Yisrael and Gezel for a non-Jew. And that we're more machmir, non-Jewish Gezel. What do you mean more machmir? So is that quantitative or qualitative? That part we're not sure of. Meaning, we're machmir even on a little amount of money, but it's a little amount of money for Yisrael too? Or We're makbid when there's no money, no monetary loss, but there's still a ma'is aveira. We're makbid for a guy, but we're not makbid for Yisrael. And for Yisrael, we require only hefsid mom. That's the Hava meaning. Then the Gemara gives the answer. What's the Gemara's answer? Again, mechila. Right, Eliyahu? So what's the, again, the most innocuous way, the most dramatic turnaround in the Gemara would be to explain. It's like the kibush answer, the Gemara, right? Just like the Gemara said about kibush. Gemara said, Lu Yitzuyar, you could have this kind of kibush. So then you would have the rest of it as well. So too, the Hechatimsi just doesn't exist. In other words, there's some other factor driving things here. The consequences look like there's a discrepancy, but conceptually there's no discrepancy at all. Namely, there's Mechila here, there's no Mechila there. That's the answer. Or, not exactly. Or what we're saying is that Ilchanami, there is a bit of a difference here. Right? Truth is, the Shaka Matari, the Gemara would work better if you said it was innocuous. And everything was just about Mechila, not Mechila. Pachim Shavkuta being significant or not being significant. But since it's hard to forget about Kuti be Israel, not so simple. So the alternative is to say, well, here it's part of a larger issue, B'nai Mechila. In other words, we're not completely dismissing the possibility that sometimes you're going to be Machmir for an Akum more than for Yisrael, as long as that fits into some other category and issue. What do I mean by that? What category and issue would it fit into? Something that already exists. Avi, what do you think? If I wanted to read the Gemara the other way, which is, the Gemara is saying, you know what? There are some things where we're more machmir. But those some things have to fit into a certain pattern. It's not across the board. It fits into something that exists already. Now, instead of saying the first pshat, which is, you're not more machmir. It's just that it looks like it. It gives the perception of it because here there's a Shavaputa that's Mammon, and less than Shavaputa is Mammon, and here Shavaputa is the Shira of Mammon. So Lamaisa, it ends up different, but conceptually it's totally the same. Let's say we're to say no. Like we said, Mitzayar and Yisrael, or like we said before, maybe there's no Shem Mammon and yet you're Chayiv Gzela. Why should you be Chayiv Gzela by Ben Noach without Hefsin Mammon, and yet when it comes to Yisrael, you need Hefsin Mammon? We just said, Leikim Yidam, there's nothing. Or more machmir for a non-Jew than for a Jew. So I'm saying there might be a way out of that, namely. Different mechaibim, but this isn't different mechaibim. If the different mechaibim are more chamor or less chamor, so it seems like a violation of that rule, like a midam. Unless it's part of something that already exists, that fits into our understanding of Yisrael and B'nai Noach to begin with. What do I mean by that? Now, so like a midam wouldn't be a problem. Yeah, exactly. Or a chumrah shav shabba min akula, or however you want to look at it. And something especially that we already know and live with. For example, if I were to say to you, Leike midam, we're more machmir on a ben Noach than Yisrael. What's the first objection you were to make? Well, we have 613, they have 7. Whatever they have, we have. Good. Aside from the case of the Gemara. But there's one pretty big, glaring discrepancy. Yeah. Chiyav Nisa. What about the fact that Azaraso, Zui Misaso, and in the case of Yisrael, the Asia was like that, not even get Malkus. I mean, Milchatz Chinuch is working very, 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 very hard to find some Malkios for Gneva and Gezela and Mosach. Halakabo. Right? But, you know, even the Milchatz Chinuch is not going to find any Chiyav Misa for it. So what about that? Leike Midam? What's the answer? Avi, to the question, why is Azarasa Zui Misasa? Why isn't that the greatest midam of all time? Say again. Yeah. In other words, you want the 7, right? So the seven, you know, have to be really taken, they're very basic, and they have to be taken really seriously, and they cover, they have to cover, you know, socially, a lot of ground. You know, if there's seven and you get just a little tap on the wrist, you know, then you're not doing the non-Jewish society any favor. The answer is that flow, that's exactly what I think you meant before, right? It's a chumrah that results, because you're only having seven, therefore the seven become very, very basic and fundamental. It's like, you know, dinim. You know, the discussion of dinim with you know, the Rambam and the Ramban. You know, are there pratim or not? And whether the pratim, the Ramban says, listen, you know, even for Ramban's comment is, dinim includes a whole system of law. Not just the enforcement of the other six. That's Sheet Saramid of Smalachim. Ramban says no. Vayishal. No. He says, and therefore, every prat is not chayiv misa for Ben Noach either. The reason that we say, as a Rasan, Zui Misasan, he doesn't say so many words of Ramban, but basically, is because this is all there is, so at least you have to focus on that. It's two things. Number one, this is all there is all you have to focus on. You better be careful about that. Number two, this is all you have to focus on. It has to cover socially, as I say, a lot. You don't want there to be anarchy. The whole point is that there should be a Tzelem Elokim aspect for non-Jewish society as well, A. And B, it shouldn't be Ish Esrei'u Chayim below. Shouldn't be anarchy. So the Azarasa, Zui Misaso, is a function, I think, of both of those elements, undoubtedly. And it's not, they're not exactly like a Midam. So let's say I say, you know what? Gezel of a Ben Noach, Gezel of Yisrael is part of a... It's a prod in... Stop 1 minute. It's a prod in Choshen Mishpat. Right? It's a prod in Sefer Mishpatim, in Parshas Mishpatim. And we've tried to explain, we began the year, and what we've been pursuing is to try to explain that Geneva and Gezela is more than just Hefsid Mamon. And Mazik is more than Hefsid Mamon. And Gezela is more than Mazik. And Geneva is more, perhaps, even than Gezela. Right? And maybe there are elements of, you know, betrayal and you know, destroying a person's rights and kinyanim and abusing him and so on and so forth. The afal pi chein, it's a little piece of a much bigger structure and puzzle. The Torah has, you know, Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu lezachus Yisrael in that sense too. So you can give everything its proper due because there are plenty of other things to compensate and pick up the slack and to make sure you live a certain kind of life of kedusha. And so on. But for the non-Jew who has only Shem and Mitzvah Noach, by the way, this affects the Chinuch argument too. How expansive are these categories? But the Chinuch said that Los Asava includes a non-Jew. Because Machtas Machshevas Gzela. So you can ask a simple question. If it's Machshevas Gzela, so why, for a Jew, why is it counted separately? Why isn't it part of Gzela? Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakas Mitzvah Chinuch. I mean, Sefer Chinuch likes this actually. That's what he said in Oshik. Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakas Yisrael Lefika Chibur Torah Mitzvahs, even when they overlap a lot. Great, but that is the idea. Good, apply it that way. Meaning, it isn't just to give you more skuyos. It's also we have the luxury, and that's what a life of kedusha is about on its higher levels, to be able to fine tune and pinpoint and say this and that and the next thing. So I'm not sure whether even according to the Chinuch's mentality, you have. It's quite possible to say, it's a bit of a Chinuch what I'm saying, but I think it's possible, Los Asava for a non-Jew is also as part of Gezel, and for a Jew, maybe Gezel doesn't even include Machshevas Gzela, because Machshevas Gzela is included under some other value, Los Asava, which has nothing to do with it. I don't think that's necessarily true for the Chinuch. I think you could say the Chinuch, I don't think the Chinuch means that. I think the Chinuch means it's no Heges in the same way. One could have said half of the Chinuch and not the other half. I think that's kind of the pshat in the Rambam, in the Malachim, Paraktas Alachates. The Rambam has a funny line, Masha Ein Kein Be Yisrael. Okay, we don't have time to develop it now because we're running late. But we'll pick up on this on Thursday as well. So my point then would be that then the way to read the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Tess is the Gemara said we like a midam, but unlike the answer of Kovesh, Kibush, The Gemara's answer is, here is, well, that's a function of Lav B'nei Mechila. So the second way of reading it is, Lav B'nei Mechila is a way of saying, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, and Geneva and Gezela is connected to Choshen Mishpat primarily, and it's about money and causing a loss of money, so then B'nei Mechila, Lav B'nei Mechila is very significant. But when it comes to a non-Jew, right, the whole point of Azarasu Zui Misaso, you're gonna kill him because he took a less than a bruto, or $100 or $1 million for that matter. You can kill a guy because he took away $1 million. Maybe not, but that he threatened the social fabric, and that he abused his neighbor. Maybe that's a capital offense. They know. That's what Lav B'nei Mechila means. These are, again, the two perspectives. We'll follow it with the specific Rashi Rama Rishonim Rav Adizara on Thursday. You can still daven a regular. Oh, that's right. So I think our cutoff is 1:45.
Rashi on the text, when he characterizes the